Join us this fall at Revolution Church as we explore generosity and sow for the harvest.
Hey, how are you? Good. Everybody doing okay? Good. I hope you are having a good weekend. The cold kind of got here, did it not? Ooh. All right. So there's that. I hope you're well. We are in this teaching series called Generosity, and we are looking at the parable of the generous landowner and considering from multiple dimensions, perspectives, aspects, whatever word you want to use. You know, how is it that we're called to be generous? God gives us time and talent and treasure, and how do we use those resources, not only to bring glory to God, but to transform lives and transform the world? And so let's go ahead. We'll dig back into Matthew chapter 20, and we'll read verses 1 through 16. And let's read that together with some chutzpah this morning. Here we go. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." We have been looking at kingdom economics, I'm calling it, throughout this teaching series. And before we get rolling with today's teaching, I want to encourage you to use your app today to follow along. There's an icon called Teaching Notes, and you can fill this out as you go and email it to yourself when it's done. So I want to encourage you to do that. You can always get our app from the website. But we have been looking at kingdom economics, and we've been saying this, that culture tends to look at time, talent, treasure, everything through the lens of fairness, right? You have more, I have less, you have more, and we tend to think about in terms of fairness. What's fair? The reason we look at it in terms of fairness is that we believe that the resources in this world are scarce, right? There's limited resources. We're all in a fight for those resources, time, talent, and treasure. We look at resources being scarce, and so we tend to think about those resources in terms of scarcity and through the lens of fairness. What's fair? What am I supposed to have? What are you supposed to have? What's ultimately fair at the end of the day? Whereas the kingdom of God looks at generosity, those resources, through the lens of generosity, time, talent, and treasure, because of God's abundance. I mean, we're talking about the God of the universe who has infinite resources of time, talent, treasure. I mean, think about eternity, that word. I mean, it's unmeasurable. I mean, it's measurable, and that it has a beginning point and it continues on forever, but it's unmeasurable because you just keep counting. So when you think about the abundance of resources God provides us with, and look, here in these United States, we have abundant resources. Sure, there are things that you might want that you don't have, but very few people, and there are some, let's be fair about that, there are some who truly do have needs. For most of us, it's wants. We've gotten ours, we said last week, right? God has abundantly provided. So the question is, if we look at those resources through the lens of abundance, how can we be generous with those resources towards others? Culture tends to look at fairness and scarcity. The kingdom of God looks at generosity and abundance. And today we're going to be talking about time. Time. We can't ever have enough, right? Sure. Well, take out your phones if you would. Let's do a text-in poll this morning. And I want you to text to the number 22333. That poll will come up here in a minute. Text number is to 22333. You're going to type in the words Revolution KY and then either A, B, C, or D. And I want you to think about this morning, how much time do you spend on social media each day? So you're going to type in phone number 22333, the words Revolution KY, and then the letter A if you're less than an hour a day, B if you're 1 to 2 hours, C if you're 2 to 4, and D if you're more than 4 hours a day. Ready, go. Two, two, three, three, three. The words Revolution KY, and then either letter A, B, C, or D. Good. You know what's fascinating, as some of those numbers continue to come in, there are a number of different polls that you can look at about how people spend their time. And so what I did is I averaged some of the popular ones. The average American's daily media engagement is 5 hours of television, 2 hours and 45 minutes of radio listening. Now this one, you have to be careful how you understand this, because realize you could be at work listening to the radio, because you're multitasking, right? Because that's cool and very in vogue. Yeah, we're multitaskers. Or you could be driving and listening to the radio, but 2 hours and 45 minutes of radio listening, 1 hour and 7 minutes on average of social media engagement. Most of that social media engagement comes by way of your cell phones, right? And so, you know, why am I telling you any of this? Well, because last week, Brian, you wanted us to hashtag RevGenerosity about stories of generosity, and now you've sucked us into the web of evil. How could you? No, I mean, that's not it. I mean, the deal is, we have abundant time. Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy this morning, right? But we have abundant time. The deal is, we listen to so many different cultural messages about how we don't have time, and the reason we need to make more time, or the way that we can make more time, is if we'll buy somebody's time-saving product, service, app, piece of technology, what have you. Anybody hear that today? I'm sure you have. Jimmy John's, there you go. I mean, you can save time and save money if you'll just... And so, yeah, it is freaky fast. I mean, we buy that. And for as connected as we are with you know, the web and everything else that's out there, for as time-saving number of devices, technologies, what have you, that we own, we're more disconnected, we're busier than ever. And we turn this abundant resource into a scarce resource so fast. I call it the black hole phenomenon. Did you know, a little lesson in quantum physics this morning, because that really lights everybody up. If you spend 5 minutes in a black hole, by the time you come out, years will have passed. Did you know this? Have you ever done that science or physics experiment where your teacher talks about, you know, two brothers, one goes up in a rocket ship, enters into a black hole, goes in there 5 minutes, and when he comes out, the other brother is like, I don't know, 150 years old or whatever it is. The point is, you enter a black hole, you're in there 5 minutes, and by the time you come out, years have passed by. This is a well-known, well-proven theory of physics. Same deal for us. It's called the web for a reason. Because you enter into it with the intent of spending 5 minutes, and by the time you leave, how much time has passed?
Years.
Yeah, years. Right? I mean, you come, like, people are gray, and I mean, yeah, it's, relatives have died by the time you've come out. Exactly. Exactly. And so what we do with all of these places that we can supposedly save time or invest our time is we multitask, because that's cool, right? So I'm going to multitask by texting and driving. That's a great idea. There we go. Now we're teaching this morning. Or maybe while my kids and I are at the dinner table, I'm going to send off my emails then. Oh, boy, now he's really starting to meddle. Or while I'm watching television, I'm going to work at home. Or, you know, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. We spend time, we get sucked into these black holes, and then we try to multitask in other areas. And the reality is we're inefficient at doing it. Let me ask you this. If I were to tell you today, go home, pick out your favorite skill saw or chainsaw, and I want you to run it, like cutting wood or whatever you do with skill saws and chainsaws. I want you to play with the skill saw or chainsaw, and at the same time, I want you to do some calculus equations. What are you going to tell me? Yeah, no way. Why? Because you're going to lose a limb. So isn't it the same with everything else? I mean, can we really expect to be efficient or effective if we're consistently multitasking because of the places that we waste time? The truth is, you can really only do one thing at a time and do it well. Now, if you're a mom, I suppose you probably get a pass on this one. But for the most part, you can do one thing and do it well. And our time, it's our most precious resource, isn't it? I mean, you can't buy more of it as much as you think you can. You can't buy more time. You can't manufacture more time. You get what you get. It's interesting. I'll be at the bedside of folks who are passing from this life into the next. And I usually ask two questions. I ask them, what was your greatest joy? What was your greatest regret? And 100% of the time, I get the greatest joys I had were spending time with the people I loved. And the greatest regret is I didn't get to spend more time with the people I loved. It's abundant, but it's precious. It's abundant, but it's precious. And today, as we think about time, as we think about this abundant resource God has given us, that's really the contrast we want to play off of, is how do we invest it wisely versus burn it in these black hole places of our life? You've got way more time than you could ever possibly imagine if you invest it in the right people and in the right places. Let's take this opportunity. We'll dismiss our kids to Revolution Kids Church.
Time, why you punish me? Like a wave crashing into the shore, you wash away my dreams. Time, why you walk away?
Now, one of the key things that we talked about last week as we kicked off this teaching series is we tend to read the parable as though we're one of the day laborers, right? Working for the man, don't have much time, don't have enough money, don't have enough talent, oh, it's not fair, all right? But the reality is we're the landowners. I mean, God's provided us with these abundant resources of time, talent, treasure. How are we going to use them? How will we be generous with what God has given us? And the reason it's this way is it's always been this way. You go back to the first two chapters of the Bible. And the reason I always want to take you back, almost in every teaching we do here at Revolution, to the first two chapters of the Bible is you get the divine intent. So if you want to know how it's supposed to be, read the first two chapters of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2. In the beginning, God gives the man and the woman time. He gives them talents. And he gives them treasure. He says, here's the land. It's yours. Invest in it. Steward it. Be good stewards. Fill the earth and subdue it. That's what we're supposed to do. Use those time, that the talent and the treasure I've given you to grow the kingdom. He gives us abundant resources. And now watch what happens in this parable. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. Jesus says the landowner went out early in the morning. Well, what's early in the morning, we have to ask ourselves? Well, early in the morning, the Jewish day started at 6 a.m. So at 6 a.m., the landowner goes out to hire people to work in the vineyard. If you want to have an abundant harvest, you have to prepare to reap the harvest, right? I mean, if you want to have an abundant harvest, you have to prepare yourself. You have to prepare for that harvest to come in. This is exactly what the landowner does. Well, how do you prepare? Well, you have to invest in other laborers to reap the harvest. Because you're not going to reap a big harvest on your own, are you? Well, you know, I mean, I got some technology. Well, sure, but technology only goes so far. You might have a billion combines, but you ain't got nobody to drive them. What are you going to do then? One of the best things about what the landowner does here in the very first verse of the scripture is that he gets out of bed and he invests and prepares for the day. Now, is that the same case in our lives? I don't have time. No, you just didn't set your alarm clock early enough. Well, I go to bed too late. Well, then you didn't go to bed early enough. Well, why didn't I go to bed early enough? Because you were watching your 5 hours of TV quota. I mean, the landowner prepares for the harvest. He's ready. How many of us do we prepare for the day by meeting God first? I mean, I can tell you in my life, the days I'm most productive are the days I get a good prayer time and scripture reading time in before the day begins. No doubt. I don't have time to do that. You don't have time not to do that. Because what that does is it orients your thinking to the day of what's important and essential and what is non-essential and not important. I mean, make a plan. Do you prepare for the day by eating a halfway decent breakfast? You're like, now you're being my mom, and is this a Kellogg's Corn Flakes commercial? No. I mean, how many people go to work without eating breakfast? There could not be a worse thing in your life. How are you going to prepare if you're not prepared? How are you going to reap the harvest of the day without preparing? Are you the kind of person who's on time or always 15 minutes late? If you're 15 minutes late all the time, you weren't prepared for that day. Well, but you don't know how busy I am. I do know how busy you are. Everybody's busy. We just learned that this morning. You spend 5 hours on television, 2 hours and 45 minutes on radio, and 1 hour and 7 minutes on social media. I can find you all kinds of time. It's there. I mean, we have an abundance of time if you plan and you prepare for the harvest. And if you don't, that's cool, but I guarantee you your life's in chaos. Guaranteed. You don't go to battle without a battle plan, right? I mean, you can, but it doesn't always work out so good. See, the landowner, he lives by a certain set of priorities and goals in his life. Let me ask you this. In the parable that we read this morning, is the landowner doing the accounting? Everybody's looking at me like, I mean, he's finally lost it. But is he doing the accounting? No. Is the landowner fixing the tractors? Well, they didn't have tractors, Brian. All right, fine. Is the landowner out in the fields working? No. Is the landowner putting up billboards to try to find workers? No. Is the landowner on Facebook trying to boost his posts so that way more people will come in? No. Is the landowner down at the local, whatever Wall Street was in those days, trying to boost the price of grain so he gets a better price? No. What's the landowner doing? He's trying to hire the best workers. Why? Because that's the priority. The reason it's the priority is if you don't have the right number of workers, if you're not investing in the workers, how will you ever reap a greater harvest? That's the priority in his life. And I wonder in our own lives, if we could be more generous in our time, if we were simply better at managing our priorities. If we invest in places that we're called to invest according to our time and our talent and our treasure versus places that are the black holes of time, would we see and reap a more abundant resources? See, the landowner's priority was to get up early. And notice what happens. First verse, like a landowner went out early in the morning, 6 a.m. to hire men to work in his vineyard. About the third hour, that would be 9 a.m., he went out. He went out again about the sixth hour, that would be noon. And the ninth hour, that would be 3 o'clock. He did the same thing. About the 11th hour, that would be 5 p.m., he went out. So what's the landowner doing all throughout the day? Remaining laser focused on his priority. God has equipped, gifted, called me to go and bring workers into the harvest. That's what I'm going to do. There's somebody to do the accounting who's gifted to do the accounting. There's somebody who's gifted to work in the fields. There's somebody gifted to run the latest scheme on Wall Street. I mean, whatever it is. But I'm gifted, called, equipped. I'm going to go do this because that's the priority. The word is invest. Where can you invest your time to have maximum impact for the kingdom of God? And it's not going to happen if you don't plan. Attached to today's teaching notes, as well as on our website, is a very simple one-page document called My Life Plan. And it's all about having a vision for what God is calling you to do with your life, knowing what your gifts and skills are, knowing what your pitfalls or black holes of time are, and creating some goals in different parts of your life. Spiritual goals, financial goals, family goals, fitness goals, all of these kinds of things. And you're like, I don't have time to do that. Well, sure you don't, because you haven't made time because you haven't planned your life. That's why you don't have time, because there's no plan. Well, you know, that's too hard. It might take time. Well, of course it's going to take time. But if you take the time to plan, I imagine you're going to see a greater harvest, a greater abundance of time in your life. My encouragement for you is to download this resource and to use it. I mean, do it over a couple of weeks. Maybe you spend 15 or 20 minutes a night thinking about what's my vision for life? What's God calling me to? What am I talented at? What resources do I have to give? Where can I invest? You know, because the funny thing is when we waste our time, when we waste our time, really what we're doing is we're taking an abundant resource that God has given us and we turn it into a scarce one. Well, now I don't have any time. Well, sure you do. Sure you do. I know you all think I'm nuts this morning, but trust me, you begin to put together a plan. You begin to think about where you invest your time and where you can do so wisely, and you'll see a greater harvest in your life than you could ever possibly imagine. When you continue to dump it into places that, you know, are these black hole spots in time, so often the reason we do it is for fear of what somebody else is going to think about us or to placate somebody. Well, I have to give them some time because, you know, what are they going to think of me if I say no? Or I have to give them some time because that's what I'm supposed to do. Or I have to give them some time because that's what's expected of me. Are you sure? Because you can only do a few things well. can't do everything well. I mean, I know y'all are experts, but you can't be experts at everything. So where will you invest your time wisely? The right priority should receive the right amount of time. I mean, look at verses 6 through 7 through me. It says this, the landowner, and I picture him here as being gruff the first time I read it, right? Sort of like retired Marine Corps type stuff. I had a golf coach once who was retired Marine Corps. Holy smokes. I mean, he would just smoke us all day about, you guys are lazy. And I mean, you felt like you just took a beating. And I mean, this is golf. It's not football practice, right? So I kind of read it the first time as the Marine Corps Jesus. He says, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one's hired us, the day laborers answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. You know what I wonder? If you replace those words in yellow, no one has hired us, with no one has invested in us. If that doesn't add a little bit more meaning here. Nobody's invested in us. The day laborers needed somebody to invest their time and their talent and treasure into their lives so they could reap the harvest and be part of the greater kingdom work. And nobody had done that. Why? Because nobody had the time to do it until the generous landowner came around. Now, that is a huge, huge learning lesson for us. The tendency in our culture, the way that we invest our time is, if I don't see an immediate return on my investment, I'm out. Yet you talk to great counselors or social workers who are here this morning, and they'll tell you what? You're going to invest for a long time sometimes and not see that return. You're going to invest in certain ministry areas, wondering, is this thing going to work out? Is it not? Before you see a return. I think part of the key is, are you investing in people more than you are in programs or products? See, the harvest of the kingdom is about the people whose lives are touched and the way we invest the time to do so. I think about the people who have invested in me. When I was an intern in college, I interned for this aluminum company. And the guy who was there, his name was Pete. He went to Cornell, Ivy League grad, smart guy, worked for Alcoa, a Fortune 500 company. I mean, really, really, really smart, had tons and tons of wisdom. And I think about the way that he invested in me. You know, here I was, this snot-nosed kid and still in college. And when you're in college, you think you know everything, right? And then it takes you 2 years to figure out you don't know everything. And it kind of hurts a little bit, right? And if you're in college, I'm sorry this morning, and I'll hug you and say I'm sorry after worship. Anyway, that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is I was an intern at this aluminum company, and Pete really invested in me. And he taught me how to form business relationships and how to negotiate deals and how to sell and all of these different areas. Pete really invested in me. Like one time we went on this big SWAT force sort of thing where we were going to canvas this huge area and try to sell more products. And he taught me how to send the front desk receptionist to the back to ask somebody a question so you could rifle through the Rolodex and figure out who they were buying through. All kinds of really, really helpful, but maybe questionable practices. But I loved Pete. And the best part about Pete was when I left the firm because I had gotten a full-time job that was a little better paying job and better for career advancement. He said, I'm so proud of you. And the two words that meant the most was, he said, you're ready. You're ready. And I was ready because Pete had invested in me. Pete had given me his time. There were 100 other things that he could have done, but he invested in me. And to have his vote of confidence meant the world to me. You know, I wonder this morning, who can you invest in? Your children, your spouse, ministries here at church, your neighbors, somebody who's hurting, a mentee. How are you spending your time? Are you investing it wisely, or are you pouring it down a black hole? Let's take some time and we'll think about this. It's been neat to see some of these hashtag Rev Generosity stories coming through, and would encourage you to follow that throughout this teaching series. It's been neat to see those stories. You know, as we've talked about, we are the landowners. We're not the day laborers. And one of the greatest gifts that God gives us is the ability to invite other people into the work of the harvest. What's the work of the harvest? The work of the harvest is the growing of the kingdom of God. It's inviting other people into the way of Jesus. To love what Jesus loves, to live as Jesus lives. To love, to die and to give our blood and sweat and tears for the things that matter most. To, at the end of the time we're given, enter into a time that's unending. Investing that time now into the work of the harvest. You know, and so often we think of ourselves as the day laborers. Just how am I going to make it another day? Just, I got to keep going. I got to punch the clock. I got to just step back. Step back and look at your life. I mean, if you don't take the time to do that, I guarantee you won't have the time you want to have to invest in other people, whether it's your kids, your spouse, your family, your friends, this community, whatever it might be. Kingdom economics says that we look at our time as an abundant resource that God calls us to invest generously in other people. It's that simple. And the funny thing is, when we give our time in this way, you actually feel good about it. Sometimes people feel guilty about that, like, oh man, I'm robbing God of His glory. No, you're not. You're not robbing God of His glory. I mean, God's glorified, right, when we invest our time in the right way. And I like how Mike Ekman has been saying in our release team meetings. He says, why do we feel good when we give our time? Mike says, we're made in the image of a generous God. We live out our purpose. We're living into who we're created to be. I mean, do you have those moments in your life where you go, yes, I'm supposed to be here right now, right at this place to do this thing? This is so right. I mean, that's what we're created for. And when we give our lives to those kind of kingdom causes, man, it brings the abundant joy that God has created us to have and to live in. Rather than those places that are black holes in our life where we just go throwing our time down, I mean, and you walk away going, like, what was that all about? You know, each day you have plenty of time. I know it doesn't feel like it. I know it feels scarce. But you have plenty of time. I mean, I've offered you 6 hours and 7 minutes today of where you can get more time. Cut out some of the TV and the social media in your life. I'm not saying get off Facebook or whatever entirely, but what if rather than an hour and 7 minutes of living in this virtual reality, what if you decided I'm going to take 20 minutes and catch up with everybody, and the other 40, I'm going to go and invest. I'm going to invest in my spouse. I'm going to invest in my children. Rather than being on this dumb thing all the time when I'm home, I'm going to set it down and play with my kids. I mean, what if we began to look at time as an abundant resource and figure out the places and the people we could invest in? What would the harvest of the kingdom look like there? What if rather than another TV show that we take on and we can't miss, we sat down for coffee with somebody? What if instead of watching the Late Late shows that I'm sure are filled with all kinds of life-giving advice, we went to bed a bit earlier and woke up a little bit sooner and read some scripture? I mean, what would our lives look like? What would the world look like? God gives us a generous abundance of time. The question is, will we generously invest in the harvest? Let's pray.